Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Barrel It Up. I'm your host, J.J. Ambrone. We continue to explore why reasonably sane people continue to play a sport well into their senior years, especially a sport like baseball. Previous generations didn't do that, so why now? Well, to help us with that and to get his personal story is Dan Hart. Dan, welcome to the show.
Jay, thank you so much for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Good. Now, where did you grow up? Where did you start out?
I grew up in San Francisco, California.
Did you? So not too far from where you are now?
Not too far. I'm in San Jose, which is about 50 miles south of San Francisco.
Yeah. Now, what was the first ball that was put in your hand? Was it a baseball, a football, tennis ball? What was it?
It was a baseball.
That's 99% of the time. That's what I hear.
Right. My dad was he didn't play the game, but he loved it. You know, yeah. and he started out. He loved the New York Giants. And when the Giants came out here, that's all it took. So baseball.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened, you think?
I think I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
And dad started me out. And on the street that I lived, there were tons of kids.
Yeah.
I mean, just tons of kids. And we did all the sports. But even at a young age, I'm playing catch with kids my age, you know, right out in the street. And that's where it started for me, Jay.
Now, would your dad, if he had had the opportunities that you had, would have he played himself, you think?
He would have. He would have. But, you know, back then, things were tough for my family. Both mom and dad worked full time pretty much.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a lot of time, but he did make time to come watch me play. So that was pretty cool.
That was a generation too, wasn't it? You know, my dad was a great athlete. He was a really excellent athlete. We had a basketball thing in our sixth grade basketball where the dads went out and played a game. And I'm watching my dad and going, who is this guy? That wasn't okay for them really.
Right. Well, it was low on the priority of things, yeah. Right? You had to look after your family, pay the bills, make sure there was enough food in the house. And then things came, other than that, things came afterwards.
Yeah.
My dad was, he came out of Europe and he was a lightweight boxer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And he also played soccer, which everybody in Europe did. But
yeah.
when he came to the U.S., he automatically took the baseball.
Wow.
It was very cool. Very cool thing.
Well, that's my dad, too. He was second generation, but he lived on the East Coast. So that was their number one sport in high school for him and people like him in his community, Italian community.
Right.
They played soccer. They played baseball, too. But soccer was the main thing.
Right.
Yeah. So now, When did you finally get into organized baseball?
I think I was 9 years old when Little League started. And It was a treat. I mean, you know, 9 year olds playing baseball, there wasn't T-ball, so you learned hand eye control pretty quick.
Yeah.
But you know, what does a 9 year old do in the dugout? He plays in the dirt too.
Yeah.
So a little bit of both, you know. And I still have friends to this day that I played Little League with, which is pretty amazing. You know, and I'm 71 years old now.
Now, were you in one of those like I was, where you started with a team ninth as in a 9 year old and you stayed with that team until you were 12?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was even my son, who is going to be 40. That's how it was when he started. So what I understand now is 9-10s, 11-12s, which is the way it should have been.
Yeah.
So you have the 9 year olds playing in the dirt, and you got and you have the 11 and 12 one ready to play. You know, I coach Little League too. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. What's a 9 year old supposed to play in the dirt, right?
That's right.
So from there on, 9 through 12, same as you.
And what positions did they have you starting out with, and how did you work up position wise?
I did a lot of catching and playing third base.
Ah.
And some outfield too. But I love the infield.
Yeah.
I just. In the outfield, to this day, my mind wanders a little bit. I'm in the outfield. You're in the infield, you just feel connected with everything, and especially catching.
Oh, yeah.
Right, exactly.
The only position I've never played in an actual game was catcher. Yeah.
The tools of ignorance, my friend. And I've worn them too often.
Why did they think you should be a catcher, even at that young age?
You know, I was kind of a short, fat kid.
Oh.
And they thought I could take a pretty good beating back there, I think. But I took to it. I really did.
Yeah.
And I pitched a little bit, not a whole lot. Third base and catching were my main positions.
Do you still remember your coaches from those years and what they contributed to your success?
I do remember. I can't recall their names,
yeah,
but I do remember how they taught fundamental baseball.
Mm.
And it was, we went out there and we took infield practice. We had the practice glove, right? A flat glove,
uh-huh,
no pocket. And you would learn how to scoop into the glove that way. They actually made us run.
Wow. I
mean, yeah, run laps, do this, do that, outfield drills. So it was for that age, I would say it was pretty hardcore. And some of the kids didn't like the running and that, and they left the team.
Yeah, but they didn't like the discipline. Yeah.
They didn't like the discipline. And back then, you made a mistake, your coach would be in your face. As you probably know too, Jay,
yeah,
they'd be in your face. Not necessarily sit you down, but they let you know what you did wrong.
Now, did mom and dad get to come to those Little League games?
Sometimes. When they, one or the other would generally come. Sometimes they both worked at the same time. But, you know, most of them, not the weekday games, but the Saturday games,
yeah,
they would get there.
Now, how was dad after a game?
Oh, dad was cool. He was, I would say, I'm not sure how to put it, but he would give me on tips how I could improve myself.
Oh,
put it that way. maybe a little rougher than that, but yeah. He was positive, though. He was positive, not in a negative way at all.
Yeah.
And it stuck with me.
Because when you think about Little League kids, you know, they wear their hearts on their sleeves. And, you know, the least little thing goes wrong, they get very emotional. And, you know, somebody's got to kind of steady them out.
Right. Well, I do notice that more now than I did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You kind of sucked it up, right, back then. And you get emotional, but I think it was a different era,
time. Yeah.
And what we would do is, you know, the kids, even when we weren't playing organized, we had several parks nearby.
Yeah.
And our street would play another street. And, it was very, very cool. All your doors and your garage doors were open, and you'd disappear after lunch and make sure you got back before dark and have dinner. Right. And that, you know, it was a different era.
Before the streetlights come on, yeah.
That's right. And I'm sure you did the same thing.
Yeah, and that brings me to a question that I love to ask everybody in our kind of generation. Makes us sound really old. But those kids don't do that anymore. They don't go to the local park and have games anymore.
No, there's too much PlayStation and computers and phones. I mean, they're not interested. They'd rather play baseball on a computer, I think.
Yeah.
It is different.
And I think I've talked to some coaches and everything, and, you know, it's not good because there's just basic stuff that those sandlot games help you with, that just being at every organized thing's not enough.
And we did it just for the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, and generally there were three sports when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
You had your baseball season. Oh, it's time for football and basketball after that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, three sports basically.
Yeah.
And today I noticed with the kids that are interested in playing ball, they have all these travel ball associations.
Oh yeah.
And, I'm not a huge fan. I think it's a money grab in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It takes away from the team sports, you know, put on by the city or whatever. They take kids off of that and they go play travel ball. You know, your son's going to be a star and this that. And basically, they're playing all year.
Right, right.
And I don't think that's healthy on an arm or your body in general. You know, you need a little break from baseball now and then and do something else.
Yeah, there's one of the interviews I did, and I'm hoping to interview the son after the baseball season's over. But, you know, a real good friend of mine has been a freshman coach for a long time. And he has to deal with these kids coming from travel ball onto his freshman high school team and what he has to deal with that, which you can imagine. But one of the dads was the pitching coach for his son on that freshman team. Now, that guy is pitching for the Cleveland major league team quite successfully.
What's that name?
Tanner Bibee.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I interviewed his dad, and I'm hoping to interview Tanner after the season, because it's a great interview for anybody who's got a kid and how to bring that kid up through the various systems so that he can be successful in the end. And all the pitfalls, especially in this case for a pitcher, with their arms and all that, that he avoided with his son, and how his son was his best when he got to the major leagues, not when he was in high school or college.
Right.
And I'm hoping to do that after the season to get the kids' point of view from that. You know, it might be a little different than dad's, but we'll get the kids' point of view from that. But I keep seeing interviews all the time with professional athletes that say, please have your kids play other sports during the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's my thought as well.
Yeah. Now, you get out of Little League, do you go right into like Pony League or something like that? Or,
I did play a little bit of Pony, maybe a year or so, and kind of laid off baseball until high school.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you play like basketball or football in the meantime, or?
I did play I did play football when I was young at it was PAL, the Police Athletic League in San Francisco. I did that and then played in high school as well. So I don't want to get ahead of myself.
No, that's okay. In PAL, what positions did they have you playing in football?
I was a fullback and safety.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Mostly a blocking fullback.
They said, don't give this guy the ball. You know, How were those coaches in PAL?
Pardon me? Oh, they were very good.
Were they?
Yeah, very good. A lot of them were actually police officers.
Yeah.
And some dads, and very good. It was a good experience. And they kind of go by weight, how much you weighed.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And try to match you up on a team with, you know, within 10, 15 pounds of that.
Were those very formal games or more relaxed?
No, they were pretty formal, actually. And, I mean, there were actually attendance for them.
Oh, wow. Know?
Yeah, there was actually attendance.
How was your team?
We were pretty good. We were called the Mates.
Ah.
Yeah, and we were pretty good. I wouldn't say we were a team that would make it to Florida nowadays, you know. But we were pretty good, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now you're a blocking back. Did your running back break lots of records as a result of you being the blocking back?
Well, I did handle the ball now and then, but not that much. And yeah, we opened a few holes now and then.
How did that translate? Now you're starting up. Let's go to baseball first. You're starting up baseball again after not really playing too much when you get to high school. Was that as a freshman or as a sophomore? Or?
I played freshman through senior year.
Yeah. Now, how did that feel going out there and playing freshman ball? Did you have? I mean, was this a potential?
I was off. Well, I never stopped throwing and hitting. I did, you know, and I've always had friends. We'd go out and go to the park and practice. So I kind of felt in tune when I joined the team, you know, and you had your workouts, and the more of the workouts, more comfortable I felt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was perhaps a little bit behind at first.
Uh-huh. It was one of those where you had to worry about getting cut or anything, right?
No. I don't know. Uh-huh. And there were guys that were that signed on to play, or they wanted to play, but they had little experience at Little League or any of that. And those guys would get cut. They'd come back. Some of them would come back more ready the next season, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, I can say I have not been cut. Of course, I manage my team, and I'm not cutting myself.
There you go. So what position for high school? Was it consistent, or did you change over time?
It was pretty consistent, catching some third base, a little bit outfield, pretty much in the catching in the third base.
Now, was there anybody coaching there that worked with you on technique and everything?
The manager, Dante Benedetti, I'll never forget
there you
him.
Go.
And, yeah, he worked with me, and he would, you know, the catcher's drill where they bounce balls. And, he said, I don't want you using your glove. I want you to use your gear. I don't want you reaching. I want you moving. Uh-huh. And he helped me a lot with my catching.
Now, were you the kind of guy that, insisted on the pitcher throwing what you told him to? Did you get upset if he tried to?
No, not really. And a lot of times the signals were sent in from the coach.
Were they?
Well, yeah, a lot of times. I could make some calls. And even to this day, if somebody shakes me off, good. That's fine. I don't care. Yeah. I get shaken off all the time. I don't care. You better make it count, though.
That's right. Exactly. That better be the right pitch. Yeah. In the right place. Jeez.
Right. No, I don't take any exception to that at all.
So how was the freshman team? Was it a good team or?
Not particularly.
No,
not that I remember. It was 500 or maybe just sub 500. We'd have moments. How would I say? Just like today, inconsistency.
Yeah.
We were inconsistent. Moving up from there got better.
It got better. By the time you were a senior, it was a little better team.
It was a lot better team. Lot better team. And we actually played in, they call it CCS in California. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Central Coast Sectionals. So we were in that. And we'd have a San Francisco City Championship, and we played Lowell High School and did very well there. So
spent a lot of time in Cambria, and Cambria's in the Central Coast system and all that. Yeah.
Right, schools
for the Central Coast. Yeah. So I kind of keep tabs on how they do from year to year.
Oh, yeah. It's going on right now, actually.
Yeah. Now, how was the football team? Did you stay as a fullback once you'd gotten that high school?
I did stay a fullback. I handled the ball. I get it 2-3 times a game, something like that. But I mostly as a blocker. I really enjoyed playing defense on safety. That was a lot more fun. Getting to hit somebody rather than getting hit.
Yeah. Okay, your senior season, how many interceptions?
I don't know. I think I had a couple.
There you go.
Not a whole lot. But had some pretty good defense. Not bad. And, mostly you slid over to help your cornerbacks. And once in a while, if the quarterback would make a mistake, and, you're there.
That's right, because it's your job to make sure that that guy that just broke through the line doesn't get a touchdown.
That's right. That's right. And plus you got to make tackles on running backs. If they got past the line, you got your linebackers and your safeties. That's what you have.
Yeah.
Did you play also?
Yeah, I played a little bit of football. The school I was at historically has never been successful in football. A couple years after I graduated, they went out and got themselves a coach that knew what to do with high school kids, and they were very successful. But we were constantly a 500 football team, and I had a bad attitude in those years. I wasn't willing to give up my entire month of August to play on a mediocre football team.
Well, how about the July, August two-a-days?
Yeah.
Remember those? That was a lot of fun.
I was too lazy for that at that time. Not that I would have, if I realized how well you did with the girls, if you were on the football team, all that kind of stuff, because I would have been a starter. And the sad thing is there was a university that my dad had some connections with in the Mid-South. I won't name it. But if I had continued to play, I was going to play on that university's football team. But I didn't know until too late. Yeah.
Well, no regrets, right?
Can't have those.
No regrets.
I'm still with the girl that I was spending my time with at that time. So,
congratulations.
Yeah.
How many years for you?
Next month. Wait a minute. On the 6th of June, D-Day anniversary, it'll be 56 years.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going on 45 in July.
There you go. Yeah. You're not going to catch up. I promise you won't catch up.
I don't think so either. But I'm just surprised she hasn't thrown me out yet, to be honest with you.
I know. I don't know what. I mean, she's had much better offers than me, so I don't know what's happened there. But
I know what you mean, my friend.
So you get out of high school. Do you continue playing ball? Or?
No, I did a stint in the Navy.
Oh, there you go.
And I got I got to play a little bit in the Navy, which was quite fun. Not much because you're moving around so much, but that was fun.
Was that instead of getting drafted or?
I was right at the age where they were starting to phase out the draft. It was still in effect, but I just thought it was the right thing to do. And I wouldn't have not done it. I mean, I think it was a good thing for me. And it actually learned some discipline.
Oh yeah.
Right. And, you know, this is the way things are done. This is when we want it done. You're going here.
We don't need your input.
That's a fact.
What'd they have you doing in the Navy?
I worked a little bit of flight deck, and then spent some time in San Diego.
That's dangerous.
It was great. Spent some time on the USS CV-63 Kitty Hawk.
Ah.
And that was a sister ship of the Enterprise.
Right,
carrier.
Right.
Right. Spent a little bit of time on that. And when my time was up, I was ready to come home.
Yeah.
And I got a little school out of the service.
Good.
Yeah. So I went to San Francisco State for a while, and I did not play. I did not play. It was time to start making a living.
Yeah.
And went from there.
Now, what jacket were you on the flight deck? What color jacket?
I was green.
You can explain to people what the green.
Oh, mostly. And I wasn't on the deck that much. But we did. We were fire crew for one. And I was not a hook man or anything like that. I just kind of inspected the planes incoming and outgoing.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but I spent a lot of time in the engine room. you don't have particularly one job.
Uh-huh.
Unless you want to.
Uh-huh.
Unless you want to. Now, you were in the service too?
No, I wasn't. But I've seen a lot of, whoops, sorry here. I'm out of the picture for a second because I just dropped what I was looking for. Okay. Back again. I've seen enough of the documentaries and stuff like that about watching those people. And I've been on the Midway down in San Diego and seen, you know, because they give you a really good opportunity there to experience what that might have been like.
And I've gone through that too.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, and Kitty Hawk was so big, you know, 3,000 guys, you might not see your buddy for a week on there.
Wow.
To be honest with you. You know, shore leave, of course, but you might not see him. It's a city on a ship, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Because if there weren't markers all over the place, I would have been dead lost trying to go into the bowels of the ship. You know, it's just.
Oh, yeah. It takes a while. It takes a while. And you got to watch those knee knockers, too.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah. That takes a while.
And the head knock.
Head knockers, too. You betcha. So came out and went to San Francisco State, and I was thinking of playing, but I was just too busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was chasing around girls too.
Yeah.
And it was time for me to get to work.
What was the first job out of school?
First job out of school was, I worked in an automotive radiator shop.
Uh-huh.
And my parents knew the owner of that, and I was a delivery driver for them. And then I started working on the vehicles in the shop. So what we would do is air conditioning, heater core replacements, radiator replacements, water pump, that kind of stuff. Anything to do with the cooling system.
Right, right.
And then I actually went on the bench for a while. And what the bench is, the radiators are made out of zinc and copper.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get leaks or they would get rotten. We did repairs on them, or what you call a recore, which is a new centerpiece, and you put the tanks back on, that type of thing. I did that for, I guess, 7 or 8 years. And then I actually went into, worked for a Toyota dealership for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And I did that. I worked in the, I was a wholesale parts manager for a company. So I dealt with the independent shops.
Yeah.
And it was, I didn't make a ton of money, but I liked what I was doing. And I liked my customers.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, when you're independent shops like that, you have to get to know them really well, because they're constantly calling you up and say, hey, I need this for this. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing, you know where to bring your car.
Oh, yeah.
And where not to as well.
Well, that's a problem I'm running into right now here in this part of Arizona. I'm sure there's really good shops around here somewhere. But anytime I need to go do something, I really need to make a trip back to Orange County in California to my guy.
Oh, right.
Because I had a company here that gave me all the pretty pictures and gave me 30 different things that needed to be done to my car. And here's how much it would be. And you got this leak and that leak, and this is wrong. And so I went back to my guy and put it up on the lift. He says, Jay, come here. You see any leaks up here? You see, so I try and get back there if I can.
Yeah, that's what they call upselling.
Yes.
And you're right to bring it somewhere that you know and respect. Definitely.
I got another place here that for $495, it was $555, and they corrected it to $495. They would change my oil and check all kinds of other things on my car. I'm going, what? The oil change is 70 some bucks. What's the other $400 for?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know what they do? They do a visual inspection. They look at your brakes. Oh, my God. We should team up and do that.
That's right. Actually make some money. Jeez.
Yeah. That would be different nowadays for me.
Well, anyway, we got a lot more to talk to Dan about and everything here, but we're going to close up this one, and then we're going to start up another one and talk to him again. But before we go, I just want to thank you for listening and or watching Barrel It Up, and because we will have clips of this show up on Instagram and Facebook as soon as we can. Please subscribe to the channel. It really helps us grow. There's a rating system from 1 to 5. If you can do a 5, that'd be great. But whatever you think is fair, you can leave comments at barrelitup@yahoo.com. Don't worry about spelling that. That'll be in the description with this episode. And we'd love to hear from you. If there's somebody like Dan that you think would be a great guest on here, please let me know who, why, and how to get in touch with them. If you'd like to see a complete list of all our guests on the show, you go to see jjambrone.com on the internet and go to page 5. That's also going to be in the description, so you don't need to remember how to spell that. You can look that up. I would like to thank everybody that makes this show possible, all the people at Pod Populi who do all my editing and distribution, because we distribute to all podcast channels that exist, all platforms. And I want to thank Susan, our executive producer, and Robin, our associate producer, for all the work that they do. And Dan, thank you very much. We're going to talk to you again very soon.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use iXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.